politics, it has been said many times, is a dirty game. And indeed, it can be. The recently completed federal election in Canada proved this in an unfortunately stunning way. I found the tenor of the debates to be downright guttural, and the political tactics nothing short of disgusting. Personal insults, character assassinations, and innuendo were the name of the game. It seemed to me all the federal parties were scrambling to make their opponents look like heartless, stupid, immoral thugs who would rather beat up on puppies than deliver effective public policy. When there are so many real and pressing social issues and policy issues that need to be debated, I was unimpressed. However, I should say, I was also not surprised. In politics, being on top means you have to vigorously step upon those below you. But this social urge to be on top, to be the one who attains a position of privilege and power, is certainly not relegated to politics alone. I am sure that all of you at some time or another have witnessed in various workplaces the machinations that go on between personnel in order to become, say, the department head. As a child, I remember the ruthless negotiations that would go on amongst so-called friends in order to be picked captain of the team. With power comes prestige, and prestige can be a very seductive force. When you are on top, people figuratively look up to you. And that can be an attractive position to be in. People treat you with great respect, but even more than that, you might begin to think to yourself, you know what? I think I deserve this. I think I am better than other people. In the gospel passage for today, we have one such person. The religious man who goes to the temple to pray. He starts his prayer by saying, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves and rogues, adulterers, and even like this tax collector over here. He goes on to prove to himself that he is above the rabble around him by reminding God, as though God would need to be reminded of his actions, that he fasts twice a week and that he tithes his income all the time. Surely he must be thinking to himself, I am therefore a good man and God loves me, and because of this, I am assured a special place in the book of life. By contrast, of course, we have the tax collector. Recall that tax collectors were considered some of the worst people in the Israelite society at the time, and with some justification. They were largely ruffians who squeezed people for their money and made their wealth by skimming off the top the money they were collecting for the Roman authorities. Moreover, because they were in collaboration with the Romans, they were also considered traitors to Israel. So here we have our lowly tax collector who feels so ashamed about his life that he cannot even look up to God. And what is this man's prayer? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The tax collector has humbled himself before God, and presumably to those around him in the temple, because he is hurting and is in need of God's love and is not too ashamed to admit it. I have heard it said that our gospel is a gospel of buts. May do one thing, but Christians are called to do something else. And this is a case in point. Many play the game of power relationships, but we are asked to be something quite different. Jesus says, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Here Jesus turns our normal concept of the pyramid power structure not just upside down, not just inside out, but he demolishes it beyond all recognition. If you want to be great, you should humble yourself. You should serve others. If you want to be on top, if you want to be exalted, You must show understanding and care and love for all those who are under you, and not do so in a way to gain recognition or praise. I once read a true story of a Christian woman who had a kind of life-altering experience she had from a vision in a dream. And I believe I've told you this story before, but it's short and it fits perfectly with what I am saying here today. This woman in this story, and it's a real story, she tells it of herself, was a wealthy woman of power and privilege. She always got the material things in life that she wanted, and she enjoyed the influence and advantages she received from her position, her high position in the community. However, one night she had a dream that would change her perception very sharply. She dreamt that she was going to heaven, but in order to get there, she had to go up an elaborate staircase. The problem was that as much as she felt she wanted to go up the staircase, she could not. She was prevented from doing so because there were so many other people at the bottom of the staircase who were making their way on before her. It seemed as though it would never, ever be her turn. And then she looked up and saw the people who were going up the staircase. To her surprise, to her deep surprise, the people going up to heaven before her were not what she expected. They were poor people, hungry people of skin and bone, broken people, people with mental and physical challenges. They were drug addicts. They were sex trade workers, criminals, women and children who worked in sweatshops. They were beggars. They were sick people. They were the elderly. They were lonely people. They were people who faced discrimination and oppression. And there were so many of them. And they were all going up before her. And as they were going up the staircase, they would look back at her and shake their heads in a gesture of genuine remorse. Quite a dream. When this woman woke up, she realized that being honest with herself, these were the sorts of people whom she had looked down upon in her position in life. As I mentioned, the dream led to a profound change in her. She experienced a radical adjustment in how she perceived other people. She realized that those who in society would have been placed beneath her were the kind of people that she really should have been helping. But even more than that, she felt that they were the kind of people who God was calling her to serve. She wasn't just being called to charity. She was being called to a new way of thinking. She was being called to help those who she could, and in the process, to be transformed. And so she was. God had taken her out of her comfort zone and made her humble, and made her a servant of those who she had formerly felt were beneath her. God called her out of her comfort zone, and it was not an easy transition for her to make. It uprooted her value system, her view on society, and her sense of personal privilege. Over the years, as she changed her life and helped to improve the lives of those, the kind of people she saw going up the staircase, she grew much closer to God and learned that to truly serve others is to love them and expect absolutely nothing in return. What I find so amazing about this story is that this woman's transformation took place on a very deep level. She didn't take pity on anyone. She didn't keep looking down from her position, and she didn't connect herself to the tax collector's kind of fashionable way of saying, well, okay, I shouldn't put down tax collectors. What she finally understood was that she was always on the same level with all others to begin with. The people she used to look down upon, those who she had no time for, were in fact loved children of God just as she was. Just as Jesus said she would, she was eventually exalted, not just because she humbled herself. It was because she took time and effort to understand and feel for those less fortunate than herself, and to do something about it. She freed herself from the bondage of being on top, and made herself truly free and satisfied, and happy being in the service of all others. Jesus died so that we would be made free. But, and there's that but again, but what do we do with this freedom? Jesus saved us from the slavery of death and darkness and calls us to be servants for light and humanity. Jesus saved us, but in so doing calls us out of our own comfort zone. God calls us to serve one another, and indeed the greatest calling we can is to serve everyone. As we Christians walk with Jesus, and as we go on our journey with him, we are called to accept a new social order. Greatness does not come from power, but from humility. Prestige does not come from high status, but from serving others. And human authority does not come from public prominence, but from the willingness to slave for and love tenderly those who are in need, and expect nothing in return. What is absolutely incredible to me is that this call to humble service for others is, in the end, so wonderfully transformative to those who accept it. Like the woman who had the dream, helping others, I truly do believe, brings us in touch with our own humanity and brings us into a closer and deeper relationship with God. It just seems to be a part of God's breathtaking plan for us and for the world. Jesus said, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but," there's that but again, "but all who humble themselves will be exalted." And in being in the service of others, it has been said, is love in action. My hope and prayer is that God may call all of us to action throughout our entire lives.